Hello and a very warm welcome indeed to Quadriga. And this week, all eyes here in Germany have been on the western city of Solingen, where 25 years ago, a racist arson attack on the house of a Turkish family left two women dead and three girls also dead. 14 others were injured. German Chancellor Angela Merkel and Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Çavuşoğlu took part in ceremonies that commemorated the events of May the 29th, 1993, when four young men set the house ablaze. It was one of the worst far-right atrocities in Germany's post-war history. Remarkably, the survivors of the attack chose to stay in Solingen, saying, "This is where our children were born and this is our home." Well, a quarter of a century has now passed since the terrible tragedy, and we ask here on Quadriga, 25 years after Solingen, has Germany changed? And to discuss that question, I'm joined here in the studio by Alan Posner, a regular commentator for the Berlin-based daily Die Welt, who says, yes, Germany has changed and changed for the worse. Racism and Islamophobia now have a voice in Parliament. Turks respond with anger and alienation. Also with us is Yasemin Ergin, a freelance journalist born here in Germany but with Turkish roots. She makes features for some of Germany's leading TV channels. And Yasemin argues that in times of growing divisions, it was an important political signal that Chancellor Merkel commemorated the attack together with Turkey's foreign minister. And a warm welcome too to Deutsche Welle's own Dea Akar, an expert on Turkish-German relations, formerly based in Ankara, now with DW here in Berlin. And Dea believes that 25 years after Solingen, xenophobia, racism and Islamophobic rhetoric are suddenly mainstream. As Chancellor Merkel said, they are playing with fire. Thank you all three for being with me here today, here on Quadriga. And Yasemin Ergin, I'd like to begin with you, if I might, with the simple question, what does Solingen mean to you?
Solingen was, of course, the major attack in a series of attacks that changed the way that people like me felt about living in Germany. I was a teenager when Solingen happened, and of course I remember it all very vividly. There was the attack in Mölln. Before that, of course, Hoyerswerda, like all these attacks in eastern Germany that were already worrying, but didn't have so much to do with us who had lived in Germany all our lives.
Living in the western part of Germany.
Yes. I mean, people with a migrant background who were born and raised in Germany, who considered Germany their home, and which I still do, of course. But yeah, those attacks, they were frightening. They were shocking, of course. And they were very confusing.
How did you talk about the attacks in your family?
To be honest, I don't quite remember how we talked about them. What I do remember is that the attitude that my parents had slowly shifted. It wasn't like immediate. They didn't say, oh, from now on, we don't feel safe in this country. But there was this slow shift, whereas like in the past, my parents very easily befriended their German co-workers. But then in the mid-90s, they started feeling more comfortable in their mosque community, for example. And they started being more suspicious about who I was friends with and where I was going and those sorts of things. What I do remember more, when you ask me about how was it discussed, I remember how it was discussed in school, because I was a high school student at the time. And one very vivid memory that I have is that, I'm not sure if it was after the Mölln attacks or after the Solingen attacks, but we were sitting in class, and then there was, I don't know, I think it was the German teacher or the history teacher, and he addressed me and asked me, how does this make you feel? How are you feeling? And I know it came from a good place, but I remember thinking, why are you only asking me? This should affect everyone here. This is not just, I'm part of this classroom, I'm part of this city, of this society. Why do I have to? And it was difficult emotions, of course, so it was difficult to talk about it. And I felt a little helpless thinking, why do I have to carry this weight all by myself? Why, you know, everyone should be shocked. Yeah. So that's one memory that I
Thank you.
Heaven, I think that's very characteristic, actually, yeah. for the way we discuss these issues.
Helen Posner, take us back to 1993, the mood of the times, if you would, from your perspective.
Yeah, well, it was just after reunification. I mean, it was 4 years behind, and indeed, there was this kind of feeling in the West that racism was a problem of the East. I experienced a good friend of mine who was an East German, and we'd corresponded before the wall came down. The wall came down. I invited him to my house and showed him Berlin. And I went with him to Kreuzberg, which at that time wasn't the chic place it is now, but was full of people from Turkey, and I showed him the place. And I liked being there, right? Because I went to restaurants and so on. My daughter lives there now, and he came out to one of these places and he said, he was a member of the East German Communist Party, and he said, I've always been in favour of reunification, but I'm against reunification. Now I'm in favour of it because we can work together against these people. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked. This is a communist, someone, you know, who was supposed to be for the brotherhood of man and woman, and he was talking like that. So that was the feeling. And when, as you say, this thing happened in Solingen, and there was sort of, no, this can't happen here. But it had. Mm-hmm. That was a big shock.
Dear Akel, well, when you... Solingen 25 years ago, does it seem like something that happened in another place at another time, or does it seem like something that is relevant for today's Germany?
It's unfortunately relevant for today's Germany. I mean, we're talking about Solingen, and yes, the ceremony where Chancellor Merkel attended was really critical and historic, I think. But for me, I'm in Germany for 9-10 years now. I have witnessed as a journalist when the neo-Nazi serial murder came out, the NSU. And I mean,
let me just explain for the viewers. This was a terrorist cell operating out of Eastern Germany that went on a killing spree, if you so will. It's the term that is very often used, between 2000 and 2007, killing 10 people, a German policewoman, a Greek gentleman, and 8 people with Turkish roots. So
yes, and for me it was quite shocking, all the information which came out in 2011. It is still, mm-hmm. and I think we're witnessing more and more anti-Semitist, xenophobic, Islamophobic rhetoric, which is becoming, you know, scary. It's becoming mainstream. And I think it's for me as a journalist, it's very important to witness how this issue is being dealt by political parties and the government and the state institutions and experts and journalists. Mm-hmm. So it's still a big threat for the German society. And it's interesting to see how Merkel dealt with it in Solingen. I think the speech she made, I read it 3 times, and I wondered, who wrote this? Because I'm sure she had her contribution as well. But each line, and it's unfortunate, I have to say, it's sad that the Turkish press didn't really cover it. It should have been... You know, I would have published the whole speech, because each sentence was what the Turks here in Germany want to hear. Mm-hmm. They were expecting this messages to be given for more than 25 years.
That's interesting. That's fascinating.
It's a bit late, but it's response, important.
Okay, we'll talk about Chancellor Merkel in just a second, a little bit more. The Solingen arson attack back in 1993 became a symbol of hostility to foreigners, a symbol of xenophobia. The amazing thing is how the survivors have responded.
The arson incident in Solingen was one of the most fateful racist attacks on immigrants and refugees in Germany during the 1990s. Mevlüde Genç lost 5 family members back then. To this day, her home is protected by careful security measures. Still, she has repeatedly called for peace and reconciliation. My wish is for us to look to the future, for us to treat each other humanely and set an example for our young people. So many of my compatriots live in Germany. I wish for us to deal with each other in a respectful and friendly way. Mevlüde Genç has lived in Germany for 48 years. She would never dream of leaving Solingen. She even became a German citizen following the attack. And she warns emphatically against allowing the Memorial Day to be used for a political agenda. So what kind of message is coming from Solingen?
Well, before we talk about the message coming from Solingen, let's talk about Mevlüt Ergenç, a remarkable woman. Where do you think that humanity and that strength come from?
Oh, that's a difficult question. Yeah, she's a very remarkable woman. It was very impressive, especially then, right after the attacks, that, if I remember it correctly, just a few days after the attacks, she called for unity and she called for peace, and she emphasized that Germany was still her home. I think she's just a remarkable woman with a big heart who didn't want to let hate win. I don't know. It's a difficult question to answer.
Who can even begin to tell me where the hate comes from? There was hate then, there is hate now. Where does it come from? There.
Well, we define it as hate. I want to differentiate it a little bit. There is some political, ideological leaders who are manipulating, you know, populist people who are manipulating fears and grievances of some people. Putting aside the ideological, political aspect, because we cannot hide that Germany has a problem with far-right ideology. But I would want to focus on the people who voted for example, AfD,
the Alternative for Germany, the far-right populist party.
When we speak to them and we ask them, for example, you know, why did you vote? They are angry. They feel lost. We're always talking about, you know, integration of immigrants, but the reality is that some Germans have a problem with integrating into modern Germany. And we have to accept the fact that Germany has changed and those people don't identify themselves with Germany and with Germany's values. And it's a problem of integration.
Germany has changed, Ellen. Interesting, just let's talk about Chancellor Merkel, because her response to this, or her contribution to the ceremonies this past week in Solingen, in and around Solingen, the attack in Solingen, were very, very different from Helmut Kohl at the time of the original attacks. And that's a very important point. So something has changed, and has changed for the better.
That's true. I mean, Helmut Kohl was asked whether he would attend the funeral of the victims, which was held in Turkey, I think, or some of them. And he said, I'm not going to... I'm not in favour of burial tourism or something like that.
Condolence tourism.
Condolence tourism. Mm. And that was scandalous. And indeed, Merkel has reacted quite differently. But the interesting thing is, you know, if a mother had reacted in the way this Turkish mother did, and she'd been a Christian, everyone would have said, where does it come from? Everyone would have said, from her Christian faith. But none of us have said it came from her Muslim faith, which it probably did. And this is symptomatic, I think. We do have a problem in Germany with recognising and reconciling ourselves to differences. Here, Islam is immediately a red flag goes up. Immediately, you were talking about your parents and the comfort they found in their mosque. Immediately, a flag goes up. Parallel society. We can't have that. Why can't we have parallel societies? I'm fine with people having parallel societies. We have a parallel society in East Germany. You know, I'm more worried about that. But still, okay, let them have. You know, so we really. I mean, I think the British are more relaxed about this. They have more experience with it. Germany. You know, there's a German, but Germans say Ordnung ist das halbe Leben, order is half of life. They're like that.
We're talking about asylum seekers. We're talking about you. We're talking to Elle about integration. Is Germany a country that is still desperately wrestling to reconcile itself with its past and decide whether it wants to be an open country or a closed country?
Yes, that's you put it very well. The point is, we are already an open country. But the point is that the politicians, including, by the way, Chancellor Merkel, have been sending mixed messages. As good as her speech was, I remember a couple of years ago, she said multiculturalism has failed totally. So what? Right? I mean, where is she? And this is really the problem. Our politicians are not totally on message. There's a constant... You know, the other day, the Free Democratic leader said, when you're in the queue at the Baker's, you want to know the person with the dark skin in front of you is actually legally here. Why would I want to know that? Why wouldn't I want to know that the person with the white skin in front of me isn't the neo-Nazi? This is the kind of talk that still goes on.
And we had a president a couple of years ago who said that Islam is a part of Germany, and that, like, many people reacted very angrily to that. And now we have leading politicians in the newly formed parliament that were very quick to, you know, to take that back and emphasize that Islam is not a part of Germany. So, I would say many things have changed for the better. If you compare Kohl's reaction, I mean, you really can't beat that. I mean, he said he had better things to do. And now, of course, that would be unimaginable. But there's still this, the progress is always,
One step forward, two steps back, or two steps forward and one step back. It's difficult to actually get.
And I think mixed messages is a good way of putting it, because, politicians today, obviously I'm talking about the center parties here, they're very careful to not... when it comes to racism, when it comes to racist attacks, when it comes to xenophobia, they are very careful to express that that's not what Germany is about. But then on the other hand, you have parties like the Christian Socialist Union, and they are struggling with the AfD and reacting in a way where they are almost competing with them or trying to compensate. It's difficult. It's not a smooth progress.
Okay, people might be wondering, what does President Erdogan, the Turkish president, have to say about all of this? Here is one of his core messages.
What has to be done for integration must be done. But I say no to assimilation.
What would you say, Yasemin? I'm curious about what... Do you think that Germany is trying to force Turks to assimilate in Germany rather than to integrate? It's a tough question.
I don't think that Germany is forcing Turks to assimilate, but I do think that Germany is always putting Turks, also other migrants, but mostly Turks, on the test. So it's not so much about assimilating. Integration is enough, but you have to prove very hard that you are integrated. So every little slip, for example, you will talk about it probably in a minute. I feel like we are questioned every day. Mm-hmm. How well integrated are you? Can you prove it? What do you think about Erdogan? So
you're nodding.
No, it's really amazing. I mean, what is integration? Integration has different aspects like social integration, cultural integration, structural integration, and then you have emotional integration. And that's the most important part. And when I think sometimes, you know, what do Germans mean with integration? What would show? I have the feeling that a Turk could never be considered as a 100% integrated person. Some Germans have an expectation which is not realistic. We have black hair. Some of us wear headscarves. Some of us go to mosques. This is the reality. I don't understand what integration, the expectation regarding integration is. And I think it's very challenging for most of the Turks here. I think it's really sad when I talk with people who are well-educated educated, who are well integrated in my point of view, and they feel lost. They don't feel acceptance. Integration, the most important thing is to have acceptance. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want emotional integration and if you expect someone who doesn't feel accepted to feel loyalty, that's obsession. That's not psychological. It's not healthy to expect from someone that you don't accept to be loyal to you.
I saw somebody on one of the on German TV this past week when people were reflecting on Zorling, and there was a Turkish guy on TV, and it was a fascinating statement that he made. He said, "People expect me to accept German culture, yeah, but I'm not sure that I do. It's not just going one way; it's going back the other way. That Turks are being put under pressure to accept German culture and are maybe saying, no, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to... I resist."
He openly said it. I mean, yeah. That he... Because, I mean, that's... And we're talking... Sometimes I have the feeling that we're too much talking. For example, we started with Solingen and now we're talking about integration. These are two different issues for me, because Solingen and NSU and all those neo-Nazi violence, which has killed since 1998 more than 184 people, this is huge. This is something that Germany has to handle. I think there needs to be really serious discussion. This is about murder. This is about killing people.
Our viewers will now be asking themselves, are Turks actually safe on the streets of Germany?
We given are.
But you're quoting, figures that are shocking, appalling.
I personally think that we have to focus on the positive sides, and we have to, those who believe in liberal democracies, we shouldn't get engaged into their boats, which is full of hatred. And on both sides, I mean, we're talking about AfD, we're talking about neo-Nazis, and there are really similar people on the Turkish side. I think we should just refuse to get engaged in their wording, the way they discuss the issues. That's why I don't want to talk constantly about the bad things. Yes, Turks are safe, and Angela Merkel just said few days ago, she told Mevlüt Ağınç, "This is your home, and we will do whatever is necessary to that you are safe." I think we are safe, but I think Turks want to see the German agencies, the German institutions, doing the necessary things to feel safe here. I think we want to see more and more steps taking, and we are fed up with those statements, those harsh rhetorics. And it's not only about us, it's about Jewish people who live in here in Germany. Their headlines, like in foreign press, their headlines like, "Are the Jews safe in Germany?" This is a shame. This is so, it's not being taken seriously.
So what you're talking about is toxic political language that is having an impact on the broader society, Alan.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with whether the Turks are integrated, assimilated or what. What was the most assimilated group in German society ever? It was the Jews. And it was precisely because they were assimilated that they were annihilated. That was what the Nazis said. "Look, I don't know if the guy in front of me at the baker's, if he's a Jew or not, because you can't see him with his, but he probably is, And so this group, which did so much for German culture, culture is unimaginable without the contribution of the Jews, they were liquidated from Germany. So if I were of Turkish origin, and someone asked me, "Do you accept German culture?" I said, "Well, yes, up to a certain point. But, there's certain things about you, I'm not sure. Because look what happens when you assimilate." So it's not the point of whether immigrants assimilate slowly or integrate or not. It's a point of exactly whether that there are people who are willing to use that to whip up emotions against other people. And, yesterday the Jews, today the Turks, tomorrow the Jews again, whatever. And this is left, right, centre, it's all over.
Does it mean? Your thoughts on what Alan has just...
I completely agree.
Yeah,
being assimilated definitely won't... I mean, come on, you listen to the AfD, to the... I mean, Gauland says that...
One of the leaders of the Alternative for Germany party. Yeah.
He said about Aydan Özoğuz. I mean, who can be... Who's... I don't want to say she's assimilated. She's a member of the government. She's a German politician. And he said that she should be
I don't even know how to put it in
disposed
English.
Disposed of.
Disposed of.
In Anatolia. Yeah. So, no, being... And like, the Jews are a very good example. Being assimilated, being integrated, doesn't protect anyone when there is hate.
OK, I must cut in. Give me an answer to the following question. Has Germany changed for the better or for the worse since Solingen? Alan?
I'm afraid at least the political class has changed for the worse.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yes, me.
I have to be the optimistic one now. I have to be the positive one. I think it went both ways, but many things have changed for the better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. 25 years after Solingen, has Germany changed? You've had three different and interesting points of view. Thanks very much for joining us. Come back next week. Tschüss and bye-bye.